Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus. Grab another water. Praise God. Isn't that good? Yes. How many know it's our time?
Yes.
It's time for the body of Christ to be the body of Christ and to do what we're called to do. Amen. And that's to impact the world. All right, I'm going to share. Can I have 10 minutes? 10 minutes? Okay. You're going to experience a miracle today because it'll be the shortest message I've ever preached. So if you can give me 10 minutes, we'll get through this. And we're going to be the better for it. Amen? All right, so let me figure out what I'm doing here. Okay. Hallelujah. So last week, you know, we've been on this series called The Love of God, and we're still on it, but we're talking about Vision Sunday, kind of blending it all together. And remember last week I taught you, don't love the world. You know, don't love the world, the things of the world. We're not supposed to love the things of the world, right? And this Sunday, I want to teach you to love the world. I'm going to teach you to love the world. But not the things of the world, but the people. To love the people. Because when the Bible says don't love the world, it don't mean don't love the people. It means don't love the ways of the world, the sinfulness, and the things that the world leans to and trusts in. Don't love that. But the Bible does want us to love the world. You know why I know? Because the Bible tells us so. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Okay, all right. So look at this. You don't have to turn there. They're going to be on the screen. I'm going to go kind of quick. But I want you to see this. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, it says this: For this is how much God loved the world. He gave His own. I'm going to read this in the KW translation. For God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And one of my favorite words in that whole passage there is for whosoever. Whosoever. That means it doesn't matter where you came from, what you've gone through, it's for you. God loved the world so much. That's the way I read it when I read that, because God's love for the world is so intense. So God never meant don't love the people of the world. He said, don't get caught up in there. Don't get caught up in the sin. Don't get caught up in the distractions and the things that keep us from pursuing God. But don't forget the people. God doesn't love the world's way of doing things, but God loves the world. He loves the world so much that that's the reason He sent Jesus to die on the cross, is for the people. Because even though we may not like the sin, we love the sinner. We may not like why they're lost, but we love them, and we want to help them find that great hope that we have found in Jesus. And the verse that follows that, now watch this. This is important. He says, they would not perish but have eternal life, right? Verse 17 says, God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world. See, we've been talking about that, haven't we? Anybody is welcome in. I don't care what their sin is. They're welcome here. The church is a spiritual hospital. The church is a spiritual hospital. Don't get mad because people come up. Man, people have come up in here and said all kinds of things, and I don't blink. Why? Because the church is a spiritual. There are supposed to be broken people in the church. I'm just trying to find a church that ain't got all that hypocrisy. Well, that's being hypocritical right there, right? You're being hypocritical. You make it sound like you don't have any issues. Hey, I've got issues. Told you about them a while ago. I make mistakes all the time. But we serve a Jesus that is not condemning. He will convict a sinner. What's the difference between condemnation and conviction? Condemnation is condemning them for what they did. Conviction is what the Holy Spirit does. He helps them to see where they're missing it. So he can help them fix it. That's a big difference. Conviction is like, no, you're not supposed to do that, but I can help you. Condemnation is, you shouldn't be doing that. Why are you doing that? You gave your life to Christ 3 days ago. Why are you still wrapped up in sin? You're terrible. You're horrible. I can't believe you're acting like what a horrible display for Christ you are. No, that's not Jesus at all. That may be the Jesus of religion, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. Right? Jesus loves people. Amen? All right. All right. Now, let me just share these with you real quick. I'm not going to have you turn there. I already told you that. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 simply says this. Jesus says that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek and to save. Seek. He came to seek. Sometimes you have to look for them. Now, what do you mean? There's sinners all over the place. Yeah, but sometimes you got to find out. You got to seek and find out how. You know, the Bible says one that wins souls is wise. Sometimes to win someone's soul, you have to find out. How many know? How many, you got any fishermen in here? People that like to fish? Nobody. Some kind of, sort of. Okay. All right. But to truly fish, you know, when you really talk to experienced fishermen, you can't use one kind of bait for this fish to catch this kind of fish. You want bass? You got to go to where the bass are. And you've got to use the bait that bass like. You know, if you want to catch whatever other kind of fish, you can tell I am not a fisherman. But I do understand that you've got to use the bait that catches them, that draws their attention, right? And so you got to seek people out. He says, he didn't say I came to save that which was lost. He said I came to seek and to save. So that's what these outreaches are. We're seeking them out, and we're not waiting. We're not saying, hey, we got flyers in here. Won't you come and get one? No, we're going to get out to where they are. T.L. Osborne always said it this way. You got to get out to where the people are. You got to get out to where the people are, right? So we love them so much that we care enough to put out that time, effort, energy, and expense to get out to where they're at. Amen? Luke chapter 14, verse 16 through 24 says this. Luke chapter 14, verse 6. Let me read this to you real quick. It says, Jesus is a story Jesus is telling. He says, a man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant, that's us, say, I'm his servant. Okay? Sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. But they all began to make excuses. So they were invited, but they made excuses why they couldn't show up. One said, I just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Well, that sounds important. I'm sure that has some kind of eternal significance. Right? Please excuse me, he says. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, go quickly into the streets, into the alleys. One translation says, go into the highways and the byways of the town and invite them. Another translation says, compel them to come in. Well, how many know if you're going to compel somebody to come in, it's not just telling them, you need to come. You've got to do something that compels them to come in, right? So go into the streets and the alleys of the town and invite or compel the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. After the servant had done this, he reported there is still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will even get the smallest taste of my banquet. I don't want to be part of the ones that were invited but had excuses. I want to be part of the ones that says, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to invite them. I'm going to compel them to come in. How many know we've got the greatest message on the planet? The gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no greater message, is there? Amen. All right, let me close with this last verse. I told you this is a miraculous message right here. And I'm not going to give you no second and third and fourth closing. I'm going to read this and I'm going to pray and we're going to, you know, go. Because that's what the Bible tells us to do, right? In fact, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, go. So we're going to go. He says, then he told him, he says, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. And those who, I didn't mean to get into that. We'll talk about all the miraculous stuff later. But the verse 15 says, go into all the world. Over in 1 Samuel, I can't remember the exact verse, but over in 1 Samuel, he says this. He told the guy, he says, fill your horn with oil and go. In other words, get filled up on the Holy Spirit and go. The Lord will lead you as you go who you're going to talk to, how we're going to do it. I'm just focused right now. I'm filling myself up with the oil of the Holy Spirit, right? I'm just focused on spending. I need to spend time with Him, to hear from Him, and because we've done that, these things have come out of that. A lot of these ideas are actually Heather's ideas. The Holy Spirit through Heather, right? We understand that, which makes me want to tell you that if the Lord ever speaks to your heart about outreaches, come and let us know. It don't have to be my idea. I could care less if it's ever my idea. All I care about is that we're winning the lost. All I care about is we're getting this amazing message out to people and helping them get free from the bondages and the junk that the enemy has laid against them all these years. Amen? That's what we're about, is winning the lost, discipling the found, right, and developing people. Amen? Isn't that good? Did you guys get anything out of that today? I'm done. Isn't that good?